And welcome to the Dark Side of Soul podcast. This is Joe.
And you are talking to Sean. Joe?
I am? Oh, yeah. Sweet. All right. Can I put in my pizza order right now?
What would you like, sir?
I kind of want something for the 11th lunar month.
Okay. You want 11 toppings?
11 toppings.
Jesus.
Yeah, I wanted to cut it in. I want you to cut into 11 slices too.
Ooh, that's a challenge.
Yeah.
11 equal sized slices.
Mm-hmm.
So, not a bad segue though. Not a bad segue.
Not
your best work. Not your best segueing.
No.
Not your best segueing.
But guys, we're almost finished with the year. We're almost finished with the Lunar New Year.
Yeah.
We're on our 11th out of how many? 12? Yeah.
Well, technically this year, the Lunar New Year was 13 months because it had,
because
I guess we had the leap year, which turned out to be a good time to do the series. Because we had the leap year and we were able to do an episode on that. So, but yeah, we're in the 11th lunar month. Yeah. And things are winding down for both years. I don't know. Looking back at this, we still have a couple of weeks and we'll have a couple of episodes for 2024, before we're done. But, how's this year, Joe? Looking back on 2024, year of the rabbit.
It's been great. It's been running fast. We had the tours have been really good. The podcast has been a lot of fun. We have a lot of people have joined our really strange cult.
we had a lot of great new supporters and stuff. Tours were just mad. Really busy year. Released the comic book. The second comic book was released this year, early part of this year. All around for the Dark Side of Soul, pretty good. One of our best years, I'd say.
Yeah, it was. It was our best year so far.
Mm.
Yeah.
For the tours. Yeah, I mean, just all around. Productive. Very, very productive year.
Yeah.
So. Lots more for 2025, 2020. Did I say 20? Well, how was your 2024? I meant, how was your 2023? A lot more. So a lot more better things coming in 2024.
Yeah.
Let's see. But we'll get into the 11th lunar month. Keep the series going towards its conclusion next month. So traditionally, this would be in the 11th lunar month. And this would be when concerns about the cold were really starting to set in, especially for the commoners, farmers, fishing communities. And I'll get into that in a little bit towards the end. There was some comfort, though, because, of course, the winter solstice would fall usually at this time of year, in the 11th month. And keeping in mind that the solstice is always in December on the Gregorian calendar, but it can shift. Dates shift around on the lunar calendar. So when then compared with the Gregorian calendar. So, but anyway, there was some comfort because with the solstice, the longest night of the year, from there, days then slowly start to get longer. And so there's a bit of hope in that, but survival was still a big concern because, like, the hefty cold was still really hadn't set in yet for parts of the peninsula, and still today that's often the way. We don't often get like a big blast of cold. Often comes at the end of December, early January, like last year. Really, really cold winter last year. And so in the past, people would have hoped they had enough winter stores to help them through the season. But despite all that, too, there was always there was also some fun things that people would do. There were fewer events, though. This is important to point out. Fewer festivals and things like that because, well, it was cold.
Right.
And people just generally weren't feeling very festive, maybe. Yeah. And then the idea of having celebratory events outside just probably wasn't such an important thing. The one thing, so the 11th month, of course, is called Ship Ilwar in Korean. It starts on December 13th on the Gregorian calendar, concludes on January 10th on that calendar, and it has 29 days. Now, one thing really before we get into it, one of the Jolgi, the solar terms, the 24 solar terms, the 21st Jolgi, Daesal, sometimes falls in the 11th month, but this year it fell in the 10th month. It fell on December 7th, which was the 25th day of the 10th month. So that is discussed in the previous episode of the series, mm-hmm. in the 10th lunar month. So if you've listened to that, you've already heard about the Daesal. But just good to know that in other years, sometimes the Daesal does fall in the 11th month. But the big Jolgi in this time of year is Dongji, which is the winter solstice. So it's the 22nd Jolgi. We did an entire episode on this last year. So the best thing to do is go back and listen to that episode. Quick review of some of the things. Patjuk is eaten, red bean porridge, or gruel, I sometimes see it translated. how would you, as a foodie, how would you, and a chef, how would you what do you think is a proper way to describe that dish in English?
Just red bean porridge, but
is it a porridge?
It does remind me a lot of. It reminds me a lot of red beans and rice.
Right, big in the south, right? In
yeah,
States.
yeah. It reminds me a lot of that. That's patchouk. No, yeah.
A porridge is the best translation. Yeah, what do you think of
red bean porridge? Yeah.
What do you think of saying gruel? Gruel just
is an awful word. It's just an awful.
Yeah.
Word.
Yeah, gruel.
It's cruel.
Gruel just reminds me of like Oliver Twist or something like that. Yeah, like it just it just may have another. Reason. Yeah, it has a negative connotation, I think, behind it. So porridge is a nicer, homely word and very cozy and feels warm in and of itself as well. So anyway, so red bean porridge, the patjuk, is eaten on the winter solstice. So still today, I eat it every year. I really enjoy patjuk. Have it every. Yep, have it every year. So there is a very cool legend about this, some old ghost lore connected to that. So go back and listen to our winter solstice episode to get all that information. Just something to remember, though, if you haven't listened to the episode, a little bit of a sneak peek. The legend is about a wicked disease-giving child ghost. So if that doesn't entice you, you have no heartbeat. And another thing, it used to be one of the most important days on the calendar in the past. It was just as important as Chuseok and Sala, the new year. So the lunar new year. So, yep, go back and listen to that full episode. That's one of my favorites that we did last year. Okay, so now going to some of the things that happen in the 11th month, or really was important in the past, and interestingly, in a lot of ways, is still done today and does have a link to other traditions around the world. And one of these key things was gift giving. Giving people presents in the 11th month was very, very common. So this does correspond with different gift giving in winter time, especially when the 11th month falls in December. on the mm-hmm. on the Gregorian calendar. So, of course, there's the day of Saint Nicholas, which is really common in parts of Europe, Central and Western Europe, part of Eastern Europe as well. Christmas, of course, a modern Hanukkah. I know there's this gift giving involved in that. So, and probably other festivals and whatnot that are linked to different traditions around the world. Gift giving is really important. In the past and still today, calendars are common gifts to give in the 11th lunar month, and they're common gifts to give in December. I love getting calendars. If it's obvious that I love calendars, I just love calendars. And I already have my calendar for 2024. It's right here. Actually, my Korean calendar. You can see it. I have it on December right there, but it has all the dates and whatnot. I get a paper calendar every year. So
from the bank,
I use digital from the bank. No, I buy a folk calendar with folk events on it, like an almanac and things cool. like that. So no, I don't get anything from the bank, but,
I should make one.
A Dark Side of Soul calendar. That'd be fun.
Yeah. With all the folklore stuff and all the stuff we talked about on the, we need to turn this into a calendar, your series.
Maybe for next year. Yeah, if we had more foresight several months ago, we could have prepped it.
Yeah.
It's always the way. Yeah. So how about you? Do you get a paper calendar?
No.
Every year? No. You've given up on them?
No, I don't have any space. I don't know. No.
I don't know. I predominantly use for schedules and whatnot, I use digital calendars, like our, especially for like tours and when we are going to record the podcast, and other main things that I may do. Yeah, I do. I'm in the Google ecosystem and I use Google Calendar. So, but I will always still have a tangible paper calendar, either like a wall calendar. I got a great gift from the Museum of the National Folk Museum, because I did work with them this year, and they sent me a big wall calendar that's has all motifs of dragons, because next year's the year of the dragon.
Ooh, yeah, so door. Burninator.
Smog. I'm going to put that up on my wall. But I'm probably not. It's unfortunately, it's one of those tear away calendars. You have to tear away each month when it's done. I don't like those. I like them when you can keep them after. Yeah. You can just fold the pages back. I prefer that. But it's a big, beautiful calendar. It'll look really nice on my wall. So with all the dragon motifs and whatnot. So that's quite nice. But I do have the smaller one that I'll keep next to my computer. Anyway, so the idea of giving calendars as gifts, traditionally it was called Hassan Dongyok. And this is, I mean, that's what it was called in the past. And what that specifically means is giving a gift that is suitable for the time of year, suitable for the season. So it's important to farmers. It was really giving a calendar. And remember, calendars worked as almanacs, especially in the past. Very important information for farmers. Not only in Korea, around the world. So giving a calendar to somebody in the 11th lunar month was a Hassan Dongyok, a gift suitable for the time of year. The second one, there was two of them. The other one was giving a fan somewhere around the beginning of hot weather. So like on Dano in the 5th lunar month. So when it's starting to get hot, give people a fan. Keeps them cool in the summer. So it's very suitable for that time of year.
Right.
So calendars do have this tradition. Give them at this time of year, very considered a very, very suitable gift. I even though I love calendars, I don't give them to people anymore because I find people just don't use them. Right. People don't appreciate getting calendars anymore. I would gift me a calendar, and now I'm letting everyone know if you want to send me a gift, a calendar is fine. I'll enjoy it. But I have stopped giving them to people because, yeah, a lot of people just don't bother with them anymore. So what was interesting in the past, though, calendars for the following year were usually made before or like just before or on, or at least presented on the winter solstice, the Dongji. That was something that was quite significant. So that indicates an event that always falls close to other holidays around the world. Like I said, like the day of St. Nicholas, which is a couple weeks before Christmas, Hanukkah, where gifts are given. They did that in Korea as well, right around the winter solstice. Yeah. So isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it's interesting. But did they play Mariah Carey on the loop?
No, they probably had something in the past, some other songs there. Yeah. They're singing all the time.
Yeah.
So another important gift, and this was called the Dongji Hanmal, and this was giving socks. You give people socks right around Dongji, we're in the winter solstice. They usually be quilted. You quilt because they'd be very warm for the winter, usually given to elderly women, and especially people who are your in-laws, so like given to your mother-in-law. So especially a daughter-in-law would quilt socks to give to her mother-in-law. And also for children, you give them to children as well. Now, it wasn't always possible to give these as gifts because, well, finances would get in the way.
Right.
For a lot of commoners, they just wouldn't be able to afford the materials for quilting. But they would, generally, if they could, they would. Another interesting thing that was about giving socks is that socks themselves were a symbol of several things, but what I find most interesting, a symbol of longevity and health. So one of the traditions seems to be that people would wear their new socks, put them on, and go step into a shadow, like the shadow of a house, a shadow of another building, shadow of a tree. And they would do this because, especially on and around the winter solstice, shadows were longer because of the sun's low position. So it would cast longer shadows. So this was linked to giving someone a long life. So you put on your new socks, keep you nice and warm, go step into a shadow on the winter solstice, and it'll be linked, giving you a long life. Now, another thing at this time is that in the traditional belief of yin and yang, or the yang in Korean, on and then after Dongji, yang, which was the positive energy, would start to come back because days were getting longer. So yang energy, the positive energy was coming back, the bright energy. And this is the lengthening of the days. So this was all linked together, all very important. But then, of course, like I was saying, it's the practical gesture of giving a loved one or a family member, especially someone elderly or very young, like a child, something warm to wear, which is also interesting to me because one of the most common gifts at Christmas time is socks, especially warm winter socks. Don't know specifically why, but one thing when I was growing up is that we'd get knitted socks every Christmas. Like my nan, my grandmothers would usually knit me socks, and then later on my mom would do it. So socks, yep, right around, you know, the solstice, people getting socks found around the world, I suppose. It seems another interesting thing that people would get would be a type of medicine or a medicinal food, really, of sorts anyway, called chanyak. And chanyak was made in the 11th month, usually made of, according to different sources, but it included generally cinnamon, red pepper. This course would have been later when red pepper was finally introduced and then
right.
And then became considered important, and honey, among other ingredients. and they would be it would all be thrown together and boiled in a cow skin. And then it would be left to congeal. And then it would be cut up into pieces and it would be consumed. So some of the other ingredients would be things like red dates, which is the jujubes, which I love. But specifically what I remember reading is that it would mostly be like the inside. They wouldn't include the outer skin. And then the chanyak would be given to the king, specifically made for and then given to the king. But other government officials would get it as well. They'd gift them to each other. And it does seem that in some degree anyway, a lot of the chanyak was gifted to commoners, distributed to the nation in some way, in some fashion. And so medicine, keeping people healthy throughout the cold months. So this food, all those ingredients considered to be very healthful and good to have and consume throughout the winter. And fruit was another key thing that people would gift around the 11th month. And Jeju Island specifically would send tangerines, mandarins, and yuzu to the king. Yeah, and send them up to Seoul. Yeah, send it all up to Seoul to the king. And then the king was supposed to, and I would assume that usually he would have all of those, or some of them, or maybe most of them, offered at the Jongmyo, which is the ancestral spirit shrine, which people can visit. You can visit it today. So, yeah. So the ancestral spirit shrine would then would receive fruit, citrus from Jeju-do. And this also is interesting because one of the key things, which is mostly a North American tradition, as far as I've been able to decipher, giving oranges at Christmas time. So putting oranges in your socks. So something that was really hard to get throughout the year. I remember my father telling me that Christmas oranges were they loved getting oranges at Christmas time. They adored it because they could never have them throughout the year very often. They were hard to get and very expensive. So they loved getting Christmas oranges and mandarins, tangerines and stuff like that. So yeah, and that was all done. So that was some of the gift giving traditions of the 11th lunar month. Now some of the other folk traditions related to weather, and I'll get a little bit more, talk more about weather lore later on. One thing that I really love, and I love reading about this is called Gisalje. And this is a snow rite. So this was for asking the gods to send snow. You needed snow. There was no specific date. It would just happen throughout the year when it was deemed necessary, when they thought they would need snow, or if there was a concern that they wouldn't have enough snow throughout the winter. Mm-hmm. And it would often be done in the 11th month. And what's interesting to me is that some of the traditions would ask mountain god Sanshin to send snow. And this was often performed at the Sajik shrines and other major shrines. And for anyone listening, you can visit Sajik Shrine. Sajik is just to the west of Gyeongbokgung. And it very I think we may have spoken about it in other episodes. It's a great little park, something really interesting to see. And yeah, it was important because the Jongmyo was to the east of the ancestral shrine, was to the east of the king's throne in Gyeongbokgung, and Jongmyo, the Sajik shrine, the shrine for praying for gods of grain and weather and things like that, it was to the west. So go visit there if anyone who's in Korea or planning to come again, or have some plans for the future. It's a very interesting place to go visit. It's a tiny little park. You can just walk around there for like 30 minutes or something, but it's a deeply cultural place full of Korean folk heritage. Very interesting. And so the Gisolje would be performed in places like this. And of course they wanted snow, and we should, people who hate snow, I think you should have to reevaluate how important snow actually is. Because no snow meant no spring, or very, very small spring melt. And we need spring melt to raise water levels.
Right.
And when we don't raise water levels, then we get drought. And that was especially bad for farming in the past. And it's just bad for the environment today as well. You know, there's a lot of bad things, a lot of catastrophes can happen when we don't have enough snow throughout the winter. So yeah, they do the Gisolje. Now, this is also related to something called the Kiuje, and which was the praying of for rain. So two rites that would pray for an abundant fall of snow or rain, depending on the time of year. So the Gisolje was done in the 11th month. Now, the other Jalgi that's going to fall this year is the 23rd Jalgi, which is called the Sosal or the Sohan. And this is going to be on the 25th of the month, the 11th month. And it's going to fall on the Gregorian calendar on January 6th. So that's the Sohan. I said Sohan. So generally, traditionally, this is kind of the peak of winter cold in Korea. And I still think that's kind of the peak of the cold, the end of December, early January on the Gregorian calendar. Mm-hmm. Do you agree? I tend to find that it just falls at that time of year.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, it's like, because if you think right now we have a bit of a warm spell this year. We're getting a lot of westerly winds the last week or more, which has brought a warm front, west and southwest winds. But from next week, we're going to drop to more like down to minus 10 Celsius again, minus 14 and things like that. So getting towards the end of the month, going closer to the Sohan. So this Jolgi. So this was a time when farmers especially, but fishing communities as well, farming communities, fishing communities, the commoners would really be preparing for the long cold spell. Things like they'd make sure they'd have enough firewood. This was really essential because heavy snows would fall this time of year, especially the farther north you went on the peninsula. Mm-hmm. And so it could be hard to leave your house to go get more wood if you didn't have enough. So you would have to make sure you had all of your, not only your winter stores of food, but enough firewood as well, which was really key. And of course, things were generally in the past anyway, believed to, once the Sohan started, it would stay pretty cold up until like the kind of the onset of spring coming up, and then that's the beginning of the next year. So yeah, so that's that Jolgi, the 23rd Jolgi. And a little fun fact about the comic, if anyone has read the Dark Side of Seoul Weird Tales from Korean Lore 2, Mountains of the Macabre. The story, the long centerpiece story, a Chosun Gothic, is set during this Jolgi, set during the Sohan. So I very specifically did that. So if anyone's read it, you know that it there's heavy snow. That's a key part of that story, is it's set in the winter. So the beginning of the story is set kind of around, like, say, September, towards the end of summer, early autumn, and then after a key event that happens right at the beginning, it's set 2 months later. And I don't say it in the story, but it is set around this time when it was believed the onset of heavy cold and snow would occur in the past. So here you go. That's some background of the story, A Chosen Gothic. Some weather lore that occurred at this time. It was believed that a warm solstice, the Dongji, meant a hot summer was coming. The following summer would be quite hot, which would be good for the harvest. So it wouldn't be an unbearably hot summer where harvest without rain or anything like that, but it would be hot enough, which would be good for harvests, which was good. There was another interesting thing called the Yonggyeong, and I think I chatted about this in the Winter Solstice episode, which means dragon plowing. And this would be divination of line patterns that would form on ice on frozen ponds and lakes. Mm-hmm. And it would often happen during the 11th month, especially around Dongji. And they would divine the future, like the positioning of the lines and things like that. If they would go north, south, east, west, it would often be, foretell the harvests and whatnot that would come up. The reason it's called dragon plowing is the lore suggests that the lines and the cracks were left by dragons. So I love the image of dragons frolicking on ice, like at night when everyone's asleep. Wow. There's dragons playing around on a frozen pond, and then they leave, and then their lines are left on the ice surface, and then that's used by people to divine the coming harvests and weather and things like that. I just love it. I love that image. And generally speaking, frozen ponds before the solstice were good signs. That was a good omen. That was an omen of a good harvest. Good harvest for the following year. So that was something just generally without the idea of the lines created by dragons that was considered very important. So but this is also linked to something that was called Dongbok, and Dongbok was another custom of reading ice, usually later in winter after the 11th month, but done with water generally put into bowls. Oh. And the water in the bowls would freeze at night. You'd wake up in the morning, and then you'd see how they froze. Let's see what kind of lines appear to them. And then you would use that to divine the future. And that's called the Dongbok. But there's also something interesting that's linked to that. That's called Dodo Myeongjam. And this is reading ice cracks on roadsides. So roadsides, paths, and things like that. Some of the key things would be if the cracks on the ice at the side of the road were perpendicular to the road, it foretold a good harvest. But if the lines were parallel, you had a bad year coming up. That was a bad harvest. So that's some of the weather lore that's linked to that, to the winter and just generally the 11th month. Other things, they would use icicles to divine the future as well. Mm-hmm. And just generally snow, often the way snow would fall and blow around and whatnot was used in some degree in some regions as ways to divine the future. And in more modern times, just to close, actually a very short episode, not a whole lot to say, like I said at the beginning, because there's just not a lot in terms of festivals were done at this time of year. In modern times, Christmas, of course, happens usually around, happens in December. We know that. This year it is in the 11th month. It's on the 13th day of the 11th month this year. And even though today Koreans call Christmas Christmas, There is a Korean word for it. It's Sungtanjeol.
Oh.
Yeah. But I very rarely hear Koreans use that word. They say Christmas, I find. Even when you see it written somewhere, it's usually the Koreanized.
Yeah, it's usually Roman, spelling. It's Hangulized. Yeah, Christmas.
Christmas. But there is the Sungtanjeol. And when you see it on, if you get calendars, calendars generally will have it written in Korean.
That would be so elegant if I found like a Christmas card with Sungtanjeol written on it.
I've seen them.
Yeah.
I've seen them. Yeah. Yeah. So, and then of course, New Year's Day and New Year's Eve, New Year's Day also, which is called the Shinjeong, is on the 11th month this year. So the eve and the day will be on the 19th and the 20th of the 11th lunar month this year.
Right.
So there we are. That's pretty much it. That's
wow.
Not like I said, not too much to say, but a lot of interesting stuff just the same.
Just finishing up the year.
Yeah, and the reason I didn't add more is because there is a lot to say about the winter solstice, Dongji, but we did an entire episode on it already. So yeah. no need to repeat most of it. So this is an important episode because it's following the series, but consider the episode itself as an addendum to the winter solstice episode, or they complement each other. So to get more information, go back and listen to the winter solstice episode we did last year. Good episode. I really enjoyed that episode.
Well, I would like to say that, we have our comic books they can get online, on sale. We also have our tour running, Dark Side of Soul tour, which we now have swag. We have caps and badges, pins that you can buy on top of that if you join the tours. So Dark Side of Soul podcast is produced by Joe McPherson and Sean Morrissey. Our opening closing music is by Sodak-san, which you can find on Bandcamp under Jeju Digital. We'd like to thank our top tier patrons, Angel Earl, Joel Bonamini, Sharon Cullen, Devin Hifner, Minsuk Lee, Gabby Palomino, Steve Marsh, Mitchy Brewer, Ron Chang, Mackenzie Moore, Hunter Winter, Cecilia Lufgren-Dumas, Emily Umba, Josephine Reedberg, David Weatherly, and Janice Song. Thank you so much for helping us and hanging out with us. If you also want to join, you go to patreon.com/darksideofsoul. Start at just $5 a month. You can get a lot of extra stuff. Yeah. Well, guys, stay warm out there. Until next time, stay spooky.
Good night.